All aboard for Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people. Thanks to the makers of... Tonight, Vox Pop travels to Fort Ord on the Blue Bay of Monterey, California, to interview men of the Army Amphibious Forces, the Army Water Bronco Busters, who are undergoing tough rehearsals for future invasions. One of your two regular Vox Poppers, Parks Johnson, will be back next Monday. But his partner, Warren Hull, has as his guest interviewer tonight the sweetheart we promised you last week, gorgeous Ann Rutherford. So here are your two Vox Poppers, Warren Hull and Ann Rutherford. Come in, Fort Ord, California.
Hi, folks, this is Warren Hull.
And this is Ann Rutherford, and I'm awfully glad that Parks won't be back until next Monday.
Oh, what do you mean, Ann?
Well, then I wouldn't have this chance to be on Vox Pop and be with all these wonderful soldiers.
Well, there are about 3,000 or more of them here. What do you say, fellas?
You know, for an awfully long time, just as you have. And I've often wondered if it looks as it sounds. You know, friendly and informal. Well, I can tell you it really does. But, Warren, you start us off. Who's your first fella?
Well, I'll tell you, Ann, I'm going to get friendly and informal right now with this master sergeant. And that'll be easy because he's from Texas. Parks will like that. After over 23 years in the Army, he now finds himself battalion maintenance sergeant, riding herd on a lot of water broncos, or amphibious tractors, as they're called. He's 39, from Sulphur Springs, Texas. Master Sergeant William R. Manning, better known as Tex.
How you doing?
Say, Tex, we know the amphibs are a new outfit. What were you in before?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you like it when you were transferred?
Well, we came out here and we looked these amphibs over and I took one squint at them and I said, well, take me back to the tank battalion.
Yeah?
Well, the colonel, he was standing there and he said, Sergeant said, I don't like it much either, but said, we're here, and so we make the best of it. Since then, we've, in our training, we've learned to like it very much.
You've learned to love them, huh?
That's right.
Do you think they'll do a good job?
I know they will. From what I've seen them do, they got what it takes.
Well, what are they for?
Well, they're for transporting men and material from the ship right into the, wherever they're needed. They'll go right over the... Coral reefs, right inland, right into the battle line, if necessary.
You mean they don't have to stop at the beach and turn around and go back?
No.
Just go right on up.
There's no unloading. They just unload at the boat, go right on across the beach, right on in.
Good. And they're armored, too, so that if anybody comes along with some ideas of strafing, why, it'll make it hot for them, huh?
Oh, he'll find a little trouble, all right.
Say, what's your biggest headache in maintenance of them?
Well, biggest headache is salt water.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we go in the water for water operation, you come out, why, every little place that's got paint knocked off, you have to get busy and daub it up or grease it up or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to keep from rusting, because salt water is very injurious to metal.
So it keeps you and your crew busy, huh?
Very much so. Mostly the, that part of it, mostly the vehicle crew itself.
Mm-hmm.
They're responsible for that part of it.
Say, Tex, you want to get this war over with just like the rest of the fellows, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
you know,
you'll still be in the Army, though, won't you?
Well, I put in quite a bit of time down south, went down to Southern Post, and where we went to work at 7:30, when the bugle blew at 11:30, well, we quit. Went to ball game, went to town, went down to some of these boys here might be around there.
Well, anyway, you want to get back to that peacetime Army, huh?
Oh, yeah. We go to the club in the afternoon, you know, instead of getting out here and battling these things or something like that.
Well, it's a little tougher right now for you, isn't it?
Oh, boy, it's killing me.
Well, say, you've been in almost 24 years. When will your time be up?
Well, my time will be up 1950, Warren. I got 6 years in the butt.
Oh, 6 years to go, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, what are you going to do when your time's up?
Boy, I'm going to rest.
Yes?
Boy, Mike, you know, some people, I've seen some men retired out of the Army while they go in some kind of business, you know.
Yeah.
Not me, brother. I finished my business at the end of this 30 years.
Say, by the way, how do you occupy yourself in your spare time?
Oh, Now, you hear everybody laughing. They don't think we have any, but I get a little once in a while.
Yeah.
I generally go fishing.
Yeah? Are the fish good here?
Oh, boy. They should grow pretty big. They're pretty well fed. Ask Doc Carter. He's our medico.
Oh, I see. Well, I know the fellows do have a little trouble out there. One more thing. Tex, you've seen lots of Army go by during your career. What do you think of the average GI?
I think, Warren, the average GI is just an all-around good man. He can take it. I've been in this training business ever since Pearl Harbor, and we really started in for it a little before that. Mm-hmm. But since then, it's been getting a little tougher all the time, and there's very few of them that fall by the wayside.
You think they're good guys, huh?
They all hit it.
Yeah, now, you see, fellows, they're coming from a sergeant. Well, Tex, we want to thank you for them kind words and for an interesting chat, too. And Bromo Seltzer wants us to present to you first this fine two-suiter bag. And bring it out here, Bob. Oh, that's a beauty. And
oh,
wait a minute.
Boy.
For your wife, we're sending to your home a pair of fluffy, all-wool, and beautiful St. Mary's blankets. And for your 10-year-old son, this Brownie Champion model airplane motor. I'm going to...
Oh, boy, thank you.
I bet you'll play with that airplane more and more yourself,
huh? Well, wait till I get to it.
Thank you very much, and good luck to you, Master Sergeant William R. Manning.
Thank you.
All right, Ann.
Thank you. Folks, it's really a pleasure to stand beside this next young man. Well, he's blonde, he's hazel-eyed, he's unmarried. Well, of course, he's only 19 years old. But he's really worth coming all the way to Fort Ord to see. We want you to know him. He's from Missoula, Montana, and he's Technical Corporal Glenn E. Durham.
Thank you, Ann.
Glenn, you're in amphibious training here, aren't you? What's your particular job?
Well, at the present, I'm a tank driver, Ann.
Uh-huh. How many men are in your crew?
There's six men in the crew. Driver, assistant driver, and radio man, and three gunners.
Gunners? Okay. You have guns and no tanks, too?
Well, that's right, Ann. We have quite a prize for the guy.
Well, these are amphibious tanks, and I suppose they're amphibious in the sense that they can ford any small stream that lies in front of them. Is that right?
Well, that's not quite right, Ann. I wouldn't call those
ocean
small streams.
You mean they can go out in the ocean?
That's right, Ann.
Without their motor stalling, you mean they're like a boat?
That's right. You just drive down the beach and out into the ocean.
Well, don't the breakers break over the top of them?
That's right. We get wet several times, but you don't mind it after a while.
Well, what happens if the water gets inside?
Well, they have a fill pump installed in the motor, along the motor, and it pumps the water out.
Oh, I see. About what's the capacity of a pump like that?
Well, Ann, I don't know what I can say about
that.
Oh,
I see. Well, I guess it gets a lot of water out, anything that goes in. Well, you say... you say you're a driver, Glenn. How do you steer a vehicle that size?
Well, you have two levers, and there's a brake that goes to each track. And also the tank commander helps you out. He has two reins, like steering a horse. When you get lost out in the ocean, he helps you out with the reins.
Oh, I see. Well, now, how do you land one of those big things on the beach? They're sort of shaped like a great big turtle, don't they? They turn over unless you hit it just right?
Well, sometimes, but not very often. We just try and raid the breakers in like a surfboard and hope that you get there.
I see. I guess you just sort of have to time the wave. Is that it? Well, Glenn, you were saying we were talking about the way the water gets in over the top. Now, don't you get awfully wet on a job like that?
Well, we have a skin suit that we wear.
Mm-hmm.
Just buttons up the front, and that keeps us very dry. Timed.
Uh-huh. Timed. Yes.
Not timed.
You mean sort of like shower curtain material or that
That's
oil
right.
silk
mm-hmm.
that you cover your caps with? Well, how about a life preserver?
Well, we wear a Mae West. That's the same as the Air Corps wears.
Uh-huh. Sounds like you boys spend so much time in the water that you should wear a Navy instead of an Army uniform.
Well, we spent more time in the water than a lot of the Navy has.
Tell me, are you amphibians called any special or unusual names?
Well, there's some of the names I wouldn't dare mention here, but water bounce and surf breakers is a couple of the names that they call them.
Very appropriate, too. Well, Glenn, it's really been lots of fun and very enlightening to talk with you. And just so you won't forget us Vox Poppers, our sponsor, Bromo Seltzer, wants you to have a few little gifts. Now, first, for your mother, we have a 2-year subscription to the Woman's Home Companion. Now that I think it over, I don't know what she wants with that. I think you'd make a good woman's home companion myself. And then for your girlfriend, we have a gold and topaz lapel pin, and it's a big one. Bring it out, fellas.
Thanks a lot.
Isn't that a beauty? The topaz is about, I'd say it was about an inch square. She could wear it on her suit or on her dress. Isn't that pretty, folks? And then for you, Glenn, we have something that we really scoured the town to find. I noticed that you didn't have one yesterday, and we found one that's pretty nearly perfect, we think. It's a 100% waterproof watch that winds itself. And it's anti-magnetic, so you don't have to worry about wearing it around any of those radar sets or radio sets. And it's shockproof, so that should take care of those crash landings of yours on the beaches. And it is the famous Mito watch. Congratulations.
Well, thanks a lot, sir.
Man. Wait a minute, folks. Friends, prove to yourself what quick, effective relief from the miseries of common headache really is. Try Bromo Seltzer. Don't let ordinary headache make you suffer. Get that quick, effective relief with Bromo Seltzer. Feel better fast.
Yes, sir. When you find out for yourself how quickly Bromo Seltzer makes you feel more like yourself again, you'll understand why people have been using it for more than 50 years. Mr. Edgar A. Steup of Woodhaven, New York, is one of our 50-year fans, and this is what he writes.
In 1896, I was an apprentice jeweler. And I noticed the men often had to stop work due to headaches caused by poor ventilation and the strain of close work. So one day, I told the local druggist about this, and he recommended Bromo Seltzer.
All the men in Mr. Steup's office chipped in and bought a large bottle of Bromo Seltzer.
And whenever one of us got an occasional headache, we just reached for the Bromo Seltzer, and within a short while, the headache was relieved, and we could work in comfort. Believe me, I highly recommend Bromo Seltzer for ordinary headaches.
Yes, friends, there's nothing better than Bromo Seltzer for quick relief from common sick headaches. Don't put up with anything that does less for you. Get Bromo Seltzer from your druggist tonight.
That's good advice, John Lang, and thanks for your nice letter, Mr. Stoop. Folks, we all read of the magnificent showing made by the paratroopers on all the invasion fronts. And to you Army men listening now, here's good news. Volunteers are once more being accepted for immediate training by the parachute troops of the United States Army. If you want to wear that famous boots and wings of the paratroopers, apply to your company commander for complete information. And now, here's a regular Army man we ran into over at the hospital. He's back after 15 months in the Mediterranean with an amphibious and mountain train division. He's 26, from Madera, California, Sergeant John W. Browning.
How do you do? It's been a pleasure to be here today, Mr. Warren.
John, we know you're married and that you have a little boy. You never saw him until you got back, did you?
No, sir. That was the first time I'd seen my son, and my wife called me from Texas to White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia.
Yeah?
And it was rather an exciting moment. The first time I heard him was on the radio, on the air, was...
No, that's all right. You're close enough to the mic now, John.
The first time I heard him was over the telephone, and of course... sound of his voice threw me a great deal, and I just about put the telephone booth down, and I'm certainly glad to be back. More back here in the good old USA.
Well, have you had any trouble adjusting yourself to life back here?
Yes, sir, Mr. Hall. It's been...
Warren to you.
Warren?
Yeah.
It's been hard to adjust myself for the simple reason we were used to the outdoor life over there, sleeping on the ground and living out more or less like the native Indians did in the early days. And when I came back, we had to seem like I wanted all the windows up, and I'd prefer sleeping outside if possible. But once I got used to sleeping inside, it was really something. It made you feel at home again.
You don't mind a bed, do you?
I say not.
Say, how many amphibious landings did you make over there?
Well, we made them all, sir.
Well, you didn't have the same equipment that they have here, did you?
No, sir, we never. At first, we never had any of these amphibian tanks or nothing.
Wish you had?
That. I certainly wish we had it.
Well, did your mountain training come in handy?
It sure did. That was all we had was mountains.
Oh, it is?
It was so hilly, it seemed like our gun positions. We were very hard to pick a gun position over there because it was so mountainous.
Well, you were in an artillery...
Yes, sir. I was in the artillery battalion.
Well, can you tell us about a serenade?
Well, a serenade, it's over there. You have your various battalions. We'll be covering certain sectors of the front. And when they call for a serenade, it's usually from Army headquarters, our division, or from high headquarters. And all guns leave whatever mission that they had at the time, and they all converge on one point, or wherever the counterattack is coming from.
Do you remember any particular one that you fellows sang?
Yes, sir. We sang one especially I'll never forget as long as I live. The night before very dark night, dark the moon, and we hauled all ammunition all night long, prepared for this big barrage, which to be laid early the next morning. And seems to me like that next morning at daybreak, everything broke loose. The whole earth is trembled, and the flash from the guns was something like an electrical storm.
Mm-hmm. How long did you pour it out?
20 minutes. Some of the fellows were so tired after the exhaustion that they'd been exhausted for days. Seemed like just a few hours sleep. Mm-hmm. And some of the fellows just dropped over, in other words. And other men would have to take their places. You call for the mess sergeant, motor sergeant, every man, available man that wasn't at the guns to help man.
Well, what happened to the guns?
Well, sir, part of our guns, in other words, just burned up. The paint fell off the tubes and they recoiled back and wouldn't go back into battery, so therefore we had to go get more guns.
You really ruined them, didn't you?
We certainly did.
I think you must have ruined a few Germans, too. Well, John, we want to thank you for this, but, you know, Ann is waiting here with somebody else. We're glad that you've recovered enough to be with us tonight. Bromo Seltzer has for you a Remington two-header electric razor. That'll keep you looking fine. And for that cute youngster of yours, we have a playpen and a nice, comfortable pad to go in it. That's a beauty, the playpen. And for Mrs. Browning, a smart, lush, raspberry-colored, all-wool, all-season coat. Sort of California white. You think that'll make her happy?
Oh,
I think. Thank you, and good luck to you.
Thank you,
John.
Thank you very much.
All right, Ann.
Folks, here's a fellow who's been in the Army for about 18 months. He was in a land tank division before transferring to amphibious forces, and he's tall, good-looking, he wears a smile on his face and one stripe on his sleeve. In fact, he's a first-class example of a private first class. From Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, meet Robert R. Lipp. Say, Bob, my gremlins have been snooping around a little bit, and you know they told me that before you got into the Army, you used to be quite a jack-of-all-trades. Oh, let's see, what did you do? First of all, you were a foreman of drivers in a laundry, you had 12 men under you. Then you were a full-fledged mechanic, and you wound up being a brakeman on a train. Brother, with all that, if you could only cook.
Well, that's just...
For a hobby?
No, I'm a cook in the Army.
Well, bless your heart. You have that healthy, ruddy, cookie look, too. What do? You cook for these amphibious tanks and tractors?
No, I don't think they'd eat my cooking. I cook for the men.
No? Well, tell me, how many men do you feed at one sitting?
Oh, approximately 150.
Well, where do you feed them?
Well, it depends on what the men are doing. If they're around the company area, we feed them in the mess hall.
Uh-huh.
If they're out on maneuvers, why, they take a track lunch. If they're going to be on the beach, why, we take food out to them, give them a hot meal on the beach.
Oh, I see. Do you have rolling kitchens?
Well, no, we take the food out in pots, but if we have any maneuvers, why, we have field ranges that we can cook on the move.
Oh, you just cook while you're going. Oh, that's very handy. Never late for dinner. Tell me, how many men do you have on your cooking staff?
Well, there's usually a first cook, a second cook, and a baker.
Can you bake?
Oh, no, that's the only thing I can't do.
Why, Private Lip, you mean your biscuits aren't good?
Flat.
Well, you better not make them. A slip of the lip would sink a ship. Went over with a thud. Tell me, who makes up your menu? It was such a pun, too. Who makes up your menu? Do you have that usual, what'll we have for dinner tonight?
Oh, no, the mess sergeant, he usually makes up the menu, if you can find him.
I will tell. I see. You mean he has a master menu, and then he gives it to you, and then you figure out what you've got in the pantry and give the boys what you have?
Yeah, we swing it around and wind up with hash.
Tell me, do the boys have any favorite dish?
No, they'll eat anything you give them except beets.
Except beets. Well, what's your favorite dish?
Oh, I like liverwurst, usually.
You do? Well, you know, I heard that you like liverwurst, and I think if you're like most cooks, you're so busy sampling what you're cooking that you don't have time to eat a regular meal. So for your between-meal snacks, we have 10 pounds of the most wonderful liverwurst. That's for your whole crew. Tell me, Bob, are you married?
Oh, yes, I was married last month, June the 7th.
Well, congratulations. Where's your wife?
Why, my wife's in the service right now. She's in the Navy. She's in the Way Station in Florida.
Well, is she really? Well, how did she happen to don a uniform?
Well, when I went to the Army about a year and a half ago, she figured she'd get lonesome, and she thought that if she went into the service and did her part, maybe we'd get back together sooner.
Well, that's certainly a fine spirit. think that's wonderful. Tell me, who did the cooking in your family?
Well, we only had about 12 days when we got on furlough. And...
who did the cooking?
Well, I did. I was hooked.
And who washed the dishes?
Oh, my sister-in-law washed the dishes.
Well, tell me, doesn't your wife cook?
Oh, yeah, she cooked, but she went into the service and wound up to be an aviation machinist, mate. And I was a mechanic before I came in and wound up a cook.
They'll do it every time. Well, tell me, what are you and Mrs. Lipp going to do after the war?
Oh, I'll probably go back on the railroad, but you never can tell them while they wind up at the service station, my wife pumping gas, and I'll probably have a diner next to her doing the cooking.
Well, that's wonderful. After all, a woman's place is at the pump. Well, tell me, have you a name for your diner yet?
Oh, I don't know. I guess you might have one, say, Lipp's Diner. Lips you can't forget.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Bob, for being with us. And now Broma Seltzer has for you and Mrs. Lipp, when you start up housekeeping again after the war is over, a starter set for two people of National Silver in their famous Garden of Roses pattern. Plus, a 40-piece set of with the creamer and sugar of wonderful California pottery. It's all in pastel shades. And it's in yellow, it's the Yorkshire pottery. It's in yellow and green and pale blue with a fluted edge, and it certainly looked lovely in that breakfast room you were telling me about. And then as an afterthought, we finally located a wee tiny spoon in the same Garden of Roses pattern, just in case you might use it afterwards.
Oh, thank you very much. I pushed right everything.
Bob, don't you go away. We have a special Vox Pop telephone call for you. Why don't you go over there and say hello and see who it is? Here it is, right here.
Hello? Hello?
Well, bless his heart. He can't talk now. It's a call from his wife. She's away, and he's taken the call in the back room where he can talk. It was quite a surprise to him, and he was a little bit overcome with it all, and one of the finest boys I've ever met.
He hadn't been able to talk to her on the phone. We found out since they both were married. He hadn't talked to her since that time, so you can understand. Friends, when you need relief from the miseries of common sick headaches, give yourself a break. Try Broma Seltzer, and then you'll experience for yourself that quick, effective three-way relief. Now, here's why Broma Seltzer is so effective.
Even an ordinary headache may make you feel bad in three ways at once. Those aching head pains may be accompanied by jumpy nerves and sickish, upset stomach. Well, Broma Seltzer gives just the relief you want because it acts on head, nerves, and stomach. Thus, you feel three ways better. So for fast relief from aching head pains...
Broma Seltzer, Broma Seltzer, Broma Seltzer.
Fast relief from jittery nerves...
Broma Seltzer, Broma Seltzer, Broma Seltzer.
Fast relief from upset stomach...
Broma Seltzer, Broma Seltzer, Broma Seltzer.
You can take Broma Seltzer while it's still fizzing or after it settles down. Use it as directed on the package. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor.
But fight ordinary sick headache three ways with Broma Seltzer. Feel three ways better. Broma Seltzer is easy and refreshing to take, too. So remember the message of our talking train.
Fight headache three ways.
Broma Seltzer, Broma Seltzer, Broma Seltzer, Broma Seltzer.
Get a bottle of Broma Seltzer from your druggist tonight.
Our talking box pop train has us still here at Fort Ord near Monterey, California. Now we'll talk to the young amphibious tank commander and driver who spent 2 years in the South Pacific. He's 29 and home is the Bronx, New York. Sergeant Jim Peroni. Jim, what sort of an outfit were you in out there in the South Pacific?
Light tank outfit.
I see. Well, what were they used for?
Jungle,
huh? Well, what did you go after out there?
Toolboxes.
The Jap toolboxes. Now, how did you knock them out?
Oh, by,
Well, you just went up there and went after them, huh?
That's right. We got all our information from reconnaissance and we gave us all the orders to go up the way. You couldn't see anywhere, so you had to get your information from behind the line.
Couldn't see anything in the jungle. I suppose you had to go up on a compass course, huh?
Yeah.
Well, did the Japs try any tricks on your tank?
Oh, we often jump on the tank once in a while and try to put bars into the island.
On the sprockets?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, suppose they got on top of the tank. Well, how could you...
Well, you spun the tank around, hit the tree a couple of times, and knock them right off.
Knock them off, huh? Well, did you see any snipers out there?
Yeah. On trees, also.
Well, how did you deal with them?
The tanks lined up against them, knocked them right off.
You mean you hit the tree?
That's right.
Well, you mean you could hit the bottom of the tree and then make the top of it?
That's right. Sure. That's the coconut tree there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so you get down came sukiyaki, huh?
That's right.
What's the closest call you ever had?
Well, 2 weeks after we landed in New California, four of our tanks got off the road somehow and went off a cliff about 300 feet. And out of the entire crew, only one man was killed.
Well, where were you?
I was riding back at the last tank that went off.
You stopped to put your brakes on just in time, huh? Well, how do you like these amphibious tanks?
Pretty well.
Is there any difference between cruising around in the jungle and out in the water?
Oh, yeah, but a whole lot of difference.
Well, you don't mind being a sailor?
No, not at all. I'm starting to take these seasick clothes now. They don't affect me anymore.
Well, Jim, we're glad we could talk to you, and we're glad Roman Seltzer has these things for you. A swell gentleman's bag is a very good-looking thing you'd be glad to go to the station with. And for your folks at home, our Bronx office is getting a beautiful 9x12 rug for their living room up there. They're going to be very happy with that. For your very special young lady back there, here is a lovely gold set of bracelet and earrings in a petal pattern, and in each petal is a topaz. You'll be glad to show up for that, won't you?
Oh, yeah.
Fine. Thank you, and good luck to you, Sergeant.
Thank you.
Jim Peroni. Okay, Ann. There we go.
Thank you, Warren. Say, friends, for the past few minutes, I've been chatting backstage with a fellow I'd like you all to know. He's been in Uncle Sam's Army for over 19 months. He drives an amphibious tractor, and he likes his work. So from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, here's Private First Class Henry M. Kelly. Say, Henry, earlier in the broadcast, I was talking with Glenn Durham, and, you know, he's a driver of an amphibious tank, and you drive an amphibious tractor. Now, what's the difference between the two?
Well, we deliver the goods, and we get protection doing it from tanks.
I see. Well, you know, time has flown so fast. Oh, we're practically up to our time. Tell me, since you spend more time on the water than you do on the land, do you use Navy terms out there, or do you say we're going to the left and we'll turn to the right?
Well, the Navy was in the ocean first, so they use the terms, and so we don't get them mixed up. We use theirs, and that's the way it's going right now.
I see. Well, say, wait a minute. I just had a little bulletin here. Bob says the time is up. We've heard from our Vox Pop Santa Claus that you're going to be married on Wednesday. Your girl, Marie Miller, is out here from Philadelphia, and Wednesday that you're going to be married. So our sponsors, Broma Seltzer, want you to be their guest on your honeymoon. First of all, we want to pay all your expenses to your favorite spot, beautiful Santa Cruz. Plus, a heavenly bouquet for your lovely dark-eyed bride and an order for some wedding pictures for you to send back to the folks back at home. And then here's $2 for the marriage license, $10 for the justice of the peace, and here is the envelope containing the wherewithal. And one more thing, as a complete surprise, here is your 3-day pass beginning Wednesday morning and signed by your commanding officer.
God, you're not only wonderful, you're a magician.
Folks, next Monday, Vox Pop will broadcast from San Diego, California, with men of the American Fisherman's Tuna Boat Association.
That sounds very exciting, Warren. Are you going to interview the fishermen themselves?
Ah, you bet. And perhaps you remember our broadcast of the Fisher Folk Gloucester Mass, where we're going to talk with the same salty, colorful characters. And, you know, Parson's going to be back with us again,
Oh,
Ann.
Wonderful. I'll be listening.
And I'm sure that he would like to see you, but I know you have to rush back to Hollywood. You've been swell, Vox Popper. Thanks for being with us, Ann. And good night, folks.
Thanks, Warren. Good night, everyone.
Ann Russell of Magazine of the Current, who released 20th Century Fox Productions' Bermuda Mystery, co-starring the Preston Fox.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next Monday night, same time, same station, when Parks and Warren visit San Diego, California. Friends, your family's health and comfort are vitally dependent on your neighborhood druggist. But these days, he faces unusual problems. Your cooperation will best help your druggist to help you. And remember...
Fight headache three ways!
Broken, Delta, broken.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.